It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Yeah, no. I mean, we talked about Yazdani not using underhooks as much and just controlling the hand fight from the biceps and collar, and that's what he did. He had a very conservative match plan. It was going relatively to plan, and then David Taylor stuck a dagger in it and blasted that double leg and won the match 4-3. It was freaking outstanding.
2 takedowns to none. David Taylor clearly showed he's the superior wrestler.
Hey, hold on, CP. The comments are saying that they can't hear you. So
oh, really?
We don't want to
hear them.
Yeah, I know we can all hear you really well. But I guess you're not coming through. So we might need you to channel that energy one more time for us. But
I got the cops coming, so I got to be a little cooler.
Cops coming. He's on the run.
Right here.
But yeah, you know, what CP was talking about there, for those who couldn't hear, was Yazdani did not look like he was fading. And up to that point, how many times did David Taylor get to a leg in any like real position where it looked like he was even close to scoring? And so it's like, I don't know, Ben. I'd love to hear your take.
No, that, I mean, that's what we talked about yesterday, just the more conservative hand fight by Yazdani, right? He didn't come out and try to swarm him and score 10 points in the first 2 minutes. It was just really well planned, well thought out. And, you know, David, he made David work for it. But both attacks David got to were totally clean, finished relatively easily on both of them. That was exactly what he wanted to do. He can't control what Yazdani's going to do. If he wrestles and gasses himself out, he does. But if he doesn't, then David can win the other way too.
How were you guys feeling 30 seconds to go? Did you think it was going to happen?
Great.
I don't know what people heard, what I said. I wasn't feeling great because I didn't see Yazdani fading at all, and that made me nervous.
Yeah.
And it's not like it had been a shootout to that point with a bunch of points on the board. So it's like David Taylor has shown he can score up until this point. Like, he had only scored one takedown at that point and had tried several other times and been unsuccessful, but he got it done when it mattered.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a compliment to David to win in a completely different way, right? Like, it wasn't about it. I mean, maybe you can credit the pace, and I'm sure that is a factor, but this was something else. This wasn't a shootout. David Taylor is known for just piling up the points, and when the dust settles at the end of the match, he's just got more. This was a different thing, and you can't write it better than this. I mean, that's the match you want in the Olympic finals. That's the one you're like, oh, man, I hope it's the last one. And to have that storybook finish where you're down late and it's not looking good and you find a way to win, that's just, man, it's a storybook. It's a storybook ending.
And CP, you were talking about this. I don't know if people could hear before we switched up the audio, but this has been a legitimate goal of David Taylor's since he was a young child. Not just like somebody who says, yes, I want to be an Olympic champion. No, somebody who was working to be an Olympic champion since he has been very young. He has worked longer and harder for this goal than almost anybody on this planet will work for anything ever in their life. And it's just a lifetime of fruition of work, like, or a lifetime of work coming to fruition.
Yeah. No question. I mean, I remember hearing him in high school. St. Paris Graham, I want to win NCAA title. I want to be a world champion and Olympic champion. And he said that in probably 24 interviews. This is what this guy wanted to do. And go back in time. It's like, it's easy. You know, the last year or so, we've been saying he's going to win these Olympic Games. But 2013, 2014, 15, 16, it's like, man, guy ever going to make a team? It may not happen. You know, he's got these guys in his way, et cetera, et cetera. It's just the commitment to the plan and the progression that he had to have to get to this point is really admirable. And in 17, he didn't make the team, right? He had the Jaden fiasco, which was a crazy thing. And, you know, he tears his ACL in 2019 and has to go through the trial. So, man, an unbelievable amount of perseverance. And, man, America's lucky to have him. We should switch up. We got a lot to get to. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to be here. I need to interview Gilman and David. I already got Gable. Gable is in the finals. He messed up Agul in the quarters. That was insane. And then his semi was had us a little more nervous. Not nervous, but it wasn't like the Agul match. That guy committed to never shooting once, which honestly I can't fault him for that strategy. I felt like Gable in the second period was like, all right, this dude ain't doing nothing, I'm just gonna hold position, he's gonna have to attack me, and then I'm gonna score. And when the attacks didn't come, the match just ended and he was the victor.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the best way to keep the score close against Gable is to not shoot. And even Akul had two pretty good low-level attacks against Gable. And I don't know how, on the second one especially, Gable caught his ankle so fast. It was really impressive. And, you know, D'd him up and scored on both of them. So shooting on Gable is a good way to give up a whole bunch of points. I don't really see a way he loses to Gino. I think he beats him. I know Gino's really good. We said the same thing about Taha. I don't really see a path to victory for Gino. Gable's going to be a gold medalist tomorrow.
I agree with you, Ben. And I was elated to see Gino figure it out in the second period, because I think Zare is the one guy that I think I was most nervous, because that's a guy that he's not going to shoot ever. No chance. He's going to hand fight in a way that there's no way Gable's probably experienced a hand fighter like that. Really. I don't think he has. So that's the one variable that had me nervous. And then Gino figured it out, got the win, and I'm so happy that it's him as well. I think it is a great matchup. And Gable said the same thing. He said, "Hey, I'm glad it's him. He's going to shoot a lot." He didn't talk about Zari at all, but he's like, "That's good. I like it that he's got length." He mentioned that specifically. He said he shoots a lot. That's great. And if he shoots on me, it's Reattack City. That's a verbatim from Gable Dan Stevenson.
Nobody in the world has better reattacks or go behinds.
He's so good
at any weight. I'll say it.
No, guys. The first takedown against Taha, Gable goes low ankle, boom. Taha reattacks, and the speed with which Gable got back and ran the corner, it was like, whoa, holy shit. How did he just get back and run the corner? That was like, oh, my God. The speed on boom, boom, boom was like crazy. I wish we could like pull it up on the screen and watch it right now, because the speed which he hit that sprawl and then go behind was absurd.
And that's usually Akul's game. Like, people usually attack him, and that's when he reattacks and scores. And that was, for me, when I was like, okay, this Gable's got this.
It was crazy to watch when it was happening. Like, Gable was my pick going in, but you don't think it's going to go down like that against Taha. Like, that man is a legend. He's the reigning Olympic champion. Nobody does that to him. He loses sometimes in his career, but it's 3-2, 5-4, 3-3, you know, 9-7, stuff like that. It's not 8-0.
Yeah, I think 6-2 was his worst loss of his career.
Man, I mean, that's perspective. And I asked Gable specifically, I was like, what do you think Petrius Feely's thinking watching you 8-0 Akul, his rival that he's gone back and forth with for like 6 years? And he's like, he said it probably made him nervous.
Yeah, I would agree fully. Hey, can we talk about Kyle's draw really quick? How tremendous is Kyle Snyder's draw? Yes. How tremendous is that?
I mean,
a gift from the gods.
It's like they let me make it. It's like if the Ethereum block said CP, roll with it. That's what I would have done. It's amazing. I mean, the blockchain. You know what, Ben? Maybe you're onto something. This blockchain is giving us some incredible draws. At least in Kyle's concern. Sagilev's got to go through some guys. I mean, there's no scenario where I pick him not to make the final. But going through Sharifov and then likely Mohamedian and then whoever he's got in the semis.
Top quarter is crazy. It's Sagilev, Sharifov, Mohamedian, and Odokadze.
That's insane. That's literally insane. So, I mean, listen, Kyle's in the finals. He can't say it. His coaches can't say it. But I just see no scenario where he doesn't make it.
Yeah, I agree totally.
Now, so we're looking at if I just want to make one quick point. I'm sorry. I know it's probably a little delayed with the hand thing. But, all right, we feel great about Kyle. That puts us at 4 medals, right? Our long shot now to medal is Kyle Dake. And you take that all day. We could go 5. I mean, it is. We are, in my opinion, a Kyle Dake 2 wins away from 5 medals. And what a showing that Team USA. Not to mention, we'll get to the ladies, and they're balling out of control right now. But let's talk about that, the 5-for-5 possibility. And let's just get right to it. I'll forget it. Dake got teched. That's insane. No one expected it. Weird. I think it was sort of a weird match. And once he got down 6-0, it spiraled out of control. But just your thoughts, Ben, on how that materialized.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy. Because even after the 4-0, I'm like, okay, Dave will come back. 6-0, okay. You know, it's going to be fascinating watching him chip away at this lead. And then, oh, boom, another point. And then, oh, shoot, another 2 points. I feel like maybe he did. He kind of went on tilt a little bit after he gave up that first four, where, you know, all of a sudden, and you see it in certain guys, you don't usually ever see it in Kyle Dake, where they're like, oh crap, I got to get this back right freaking now. And they continue to take risks at a level that they wouldn't normally take. And then it causes them to kind of like spiral out of control, which is what we saw happen there. The first four was crazy because Dake kind of goes double under and the guy goes, it was Metzger, but he kind of, you know, really picked him up and took him that way. I never heard of this dude before. So impressive.
Very impressive. We were rewatching it. And if you take a screenshot of the moment, he shoots that single leg just so he can come up under, get to his body lock. He gets to the perfect position that you're like, yeah, this is worst case scenario, 2 points for Dake. Very possibly four. The idea that someone can just grab his leg, pick him up, and throw it. I mean, there's no scenario where I thought that would be possible. Another interesting note about this match was there were two challenges from Coach Gray, and Kyle rejected them both. I think the first rejection, I think, was probably the right call because I don't see them changing that 4-2.
I don't think so.
The second one, however, I thought his opponent clearly stepped out.
So they didn't show us a replay on our screen, at least.
So I haven't rewatched it, but in the moment, watching live, I thought his foot went all the way out completely. And then he came around and he got the two.
Yeah.
And that's a huge swing there. That. And of course, the reason that one got rejected likely by Dake is it's 9-0. So you can literally tech yourself out of the match with that. So, yeah, you know, you got to be beyond the shadow of a doubt and then some to say, yeah, let's have it. And I don't fault him for turning down either of those challenges. Although I will say rewatching the four, it was way closer than I realized live. So I'm talking about the initial exchange now. Sorry if I'm bouncing around.
He double unders him and kind of drives him out towards the edge. So you're saying that he almost stepped out, or what are you saying?
No, I'm saying the step out was the second challenge. The first challenge was likely did Dake expose feet to back. And I'm telling you, rewatch it. It's super questionable if he does. It's about as close as you can get. It's like a 91 degrees or 89 degrees type of deal. And in the moment, I thought, yeah, for sure, feet to back. And I rewatched that replay, and I'm like, oh my gosh. I mean, and that's one of those things that, like, Dake alone can do. Like, go from getting planted on your back to somehow recovering. But either way, the result's the result. And that guy's ridiculous. I mean, he beat Chamizo in a what I would consider a strange match. Like, Chamizo in the second period felt like he could score anytime he wanted, but he couldn't stop getting scored on by this guy. I will stop calling him this guy. It's Kadi Magomedov. The man has the name. It has the longest ever, but he does.
Hey, Christian, what did you make of a lot of people on my Twitter feed? I thought Dake wrestled a really well-controlled match against a really tough Iranian in the first round and beat him 4-0, which if we're talking first-round Dake, that's what he does. And people were saying Dake looks off, and I thought, no, that's how Kyle Dake wrestles. You know, he'll win 4-0, 5-0 first round against a really tough opponent and then start turning it up.
Can I say something about his match with Kai Magomedov first? It's weird to see Kyle Dake, who, in my opinion, is the best in the world from seatbelt position, that body lock, side body lock position. I don't know if something is off with Dake or he had never felt somebody come inside that leg before on that defense, but he's very good at finishing there, and especially to give up the points he did. But then after that first one, when he gets thrown to his back and recovers and he's in on the leg, watch as Kadi Magomedov like hips in and forces Kyle Dake. That's when Kyle like had to roll him through, but it was because of the hip pressure where Kadi Magomedov put him like back down. It was weird to see like hip pressure from somebody force Kyle Dake into a position like that.
Yeah, it was strange. And to Ben's point about Dake's first match, I thought that was a total I thought it was such a strange reaction from Twitter. I thought, I literally think we're seeing this. We saw that. Here's my opinion. You don't have to co-sign it, but we got a lot of people who don't watch a lot of freestyle, don't watch a lot of international competition. And we saw that with the Helen reaction, in my opinion, with her semi-match. I thought that was a clear how that was called. And I thought that was a very we've seen Dake do that. He kind of settles. He works his way into tournaments sometimes. I think he did this very recently. I'm trying to remember the tournament. But he gets the ball rolling, and then he explodes. That and also, that Iranian is really, really good. This guy.
Yeah.
Jordan Burroughs needed a last-second score to beat this dude not that long ago, okay? So it was a controlled match against a guy that didn't want to score points. The guy didn't take a shot. The guy didn't try to score, okay? So he should have some 10-0 urgency. This guy's going to go through someone really tough, and then Chimizo in the same day. The idea that Kyle should, try to destroy this guy, it's like, no, this guy's not even trying to win. He's not even trying to score on me. So you know what? Take the win and move on. We've seen Dake do that 1,000 times. This guy had a freaking 1-0 or 2-0 win over Mark Martin his senior year at NCAAs. Who cares?
Who cares? Throwback reference.
Yeah,
Martin catching strays still.
Yeah. Yeah, in Dake's first tournament down at 74 – last January, he had like a 3-1 match, real close matches. Like that's his game plan. That's his style. Him shutting somebody out is like, oh yeah, they'll never score on me. And that's what we were saying in the watch party. They're like, that's Dake. Like a 4-0 win from Kyle Dake is like a 10-0 win from somebody else. And so
Hossein Ghani wasn't taking chances at all.
No,
he just he was kind of happy to lose 4-0 a little bit.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was content to lose by 4 to unearth the Metcalf Lance Palmer quote. So that was fantastic performance by Kyle. I think that's what energy conservation is. The cut affecting him? I don't know. That to me, that match was one exchange and for Kyle, and it spiraled out of control. And the guy that is known for having poise in the biggest moments, I don't think he didn't have the poise that we're used to seeing from him. And I think it was just as simple as that. It spiraled in a way. I mean, I think, and what I liked about Kyle, even though it backfired, is like he kept getting to positions where he almost always scores. This guy just had the answers. The guy had the answers today. If they wrestle 10 times, I'm taking him 7 out of 10. The one that mattered was today, and it didn't work out for us. But this guy's for real. He's not going to beat Sitikov, probably, because he is just on a – he is destroying everyone.
He did beat Sitikov.
In 2017.
70 kilograms. Come on.
Yeah. Count it.
No. A transfer is not going to beat a
Is it because they're not allowed to, like, out of threat, or what's the deal?
It's sure happened like three times ever.
Yeah, there's no scenario I see it happen, but I could be wrong. I wouldn't say I'd be happy to be wrong because I don't really care, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Now,
hey guys, I got to run. Can I ask you guys just one question before I leave? I got like 1 minute left.
Yeah.
I didn't think about this till Cormier tweeted about it this morning. How the hell is Russia in the damn team standings if they're banned from the Olympics?
There's no team standings. You don't win team titles in the Olympics.
Listen, I'm looking at it on United World Wrestling. You can click on team rankings. It has Russia in there.
So on our website. But the Olympics doesn't award a team champion.
You should go to flowwrestling.org and look at them there.
United World Wrestling has them. Russia's banned. They should just take their ass off the list.
Yeah. It's not Russia, though. It's their Olympic committee.
It's just their committee. It's not really Russia. Such a stupid thing.
It's a hypothetical team champion, so toss in the hypothetical team.
We can't win. We would have to have Rashidov get knocked out or Sedulaev get knocked out to win.
If they both make the final, they don't even have to win. I think if they both make the final mathematically, we cannot. Correct?
Yeah, so they'd have to get knocked out.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different scenarios. you know, Gable can win. But yeah, if they both make the finals, I mean, Sitikov still has to. Yeah, if they both make the finals, we're done.
Well, you know what? Everyone wants to crown Rashidov like he's some goat. This guy lost to Yalis Bonne Rodriguez this quad. So you know what? Let's not crown y'all. I know everyone loves this guy and thinks he's the best thing ever. This is the toughest weight in the world. This is it. Yes. This is as tough as it gets. And he could lose. He may win. He should probably be the favorite to win. But he could lose. And Haji Aliyev is a full-on gangster. And I think he's coming. And I think I'd take him to win.
But Aliyev's on the other side. He's got, correct?
Yeah.
Aliyev's on the other side.
Tavanian. Yep. Don't sleep on Tavanian. He's my guy.
And Gaziev and Muzakayev or Oduguru.
Yeah, Spey loves this guy.
Round one, Tavanian. I'm going to do a dance if he wins.
All right, hey, I got to run to camp. We got the last session. Got to give these kids a great
experience. You ain't running nowhere. You're not running, Ben.
Walking quickly.
All right, see you, buddy.
See ya.
Okay, I may be on borrowed time here, but I'm gonna try to keep going. I'm going to try to avoid the law. I've done good so far. I just try to keep moving a little bit. I'm running through the list. This was just an amazing day for American wrestling and San Marino wrestling. A transformative day, perhaps, for them. Let's talk about Gilman. He is a whisper away from beating Aguyev and loses in gut-punching fashion and just proceeds to kick the neck in of two very, very tough opponents. It was an incredible, incredible response. Thomas Gilman is not only is he an Olympic bronze medalist, not only did he do it in dominant fashion, but you've got to have him in the conversation for, you know, a title contender next year and beyond. And he's on the team for 21 Worlds. He did not commit or say he's not doing it or that he is doing it. So we'll see. He elaborated about his injury. He said it was a Liz Frank injury, which I was not aware of the specific injury. But that is a foot injury that has – I'm trying to think of the football player that got completely derailed.
Eli got it.
I thought it was Peyton.
Was that Michael Jordan's injury?
No, Jordan broke his ankle.
Was it?
Well, now that you say it, maybe he did have a Liz Frank thing.
Yeah.
Regardless.
That was Eli. Plantar fasciitis, small and other stuff.
Yeah. Bad foot. Terrible quarterback. I don't know how he won two Super Bowls.
Hall of Famer, baby.
Undisputed. Spade's a big old Giants fan. So he talked about that a little bit, about, you know, is he going to come back? Is he not? For 21, that is. He didn't give any indication he'd be done now. But, man, just a smiling, happy, very proud guy to get bronze. And, man, I thought we were going to have to win two slugfest dogfights, just ugly, ugly wins. And the Uzbek, I don't even think he wanted to actually wrestle. He had no interest in it to me. He just looked totally disinterested, and Gilman ran over him. And then Atri really had no answers, too. He's wrestled Atri twice. He won by criteria and another super, super close match. Like, that's a – so that's incredible progression for Thomas. And I can't wait to see him in 21 Worlds if he goes.
And like you said, we don't know exactly how serious this injury is. I don't know what the surgery recovery process is for this, but after how he looked here in Tokyo, it's hard to imagine a world where he doesn't go to Worlds when it's this close. And, you know, that screws people like Dayton. Like, what do? You go up to 61. We also have to mention, if Kyle medals, which is very possible, what does Jordan do? Jordan Burroughs, or if he doesn't medal, excuse me.
Yeah, I think you got to stay up. I mean, everyone started asking and talking about that. I think Jordan has already begun the process of committing to being a 79. I don't think you say, oh, let me go back down because Dake lost.
And World Team Trials only 5 weeks away.
Yeah. So
yeah, we got to book tickets and stuff, fellas.
Yeah, we do. USA Wrestling just announced Lincoln, Nebraska, Pinnacle Bank, September 11 and 12.
What's Pinnacle Bank? I've never been there. I know you've seen
it. It's the big arena. It's the big arena in Lincoln. It's not tied to the university. It's where they have, or maybe it is. Maybe like their basketball team plays there. I think their basketball team plays there, but it's bigger than Bob Devaney.
Well, Bob Devaney's just a person. I would imagine a stadium would be
exactly
bigger than him.
You can fit thousands of Bob Devaney's.
I hear it's the highest point in Lincoln, the new place.
I've heard that. That might be Buffalo Wild Wings, though. Okay, so Gilman, amazing. Amazing job.
Four years after taking silver, he gets it done again.
And the best he's ever looked.
Best
he's ever looked. It really is. And
how much of that do you credit to moving out to State College?
So he talked about that. He gave them a lot of credit. He said, it was the move for me, nothing against Iowa. They treated me well for 7 years, but I needed to make a move. He said multiple times he learned that more is not more, basically less is more, and that he needed to listen to his body, and that's why he was getting injured. He had a hamstring injury a couple years back that he alluded to, and then he had this injury, of course. So he gave Penn State a decent amount of credit there, but was not confrontational about Iowa at all. But what I wanted to say was, looking at Gilman and Helen, you have two wrestlers that at trials for Helen or for Gilman and Poland and trials for Helen, you're like, this does not look like metal material. I mean, Helen's going into a meat grinder of a weight, and she just doesn't look like she has the 2016 form, right, or the 2017 form. And then with Gilman, he's coming off an injury, and even a fully healthy Gilman, we're like, can he medal? Yes. Will he? Probably not. And for both of them to just, boom, get it, not just together, but both look as good as ever. Helen looked like 2016-17 Helen. I mean, they wrestled that match.
They did not have
Cal
Snyder
times.
Draws. Neither one of them.
No. Mm-hmm.
They earned
it. They did not have it. I mean, he had a Goyev in the first round. He's the Olympic champion. Brutal draw for Helen. Brutal. We spent an entire day talking about, I can't believe her draw is this tough and bummer, and it's not going to be good. And she got bronze, and she destroyed in the bronze medal match. It's incredible. It's inspiring. It's an amazing night for wrestling. Miles Amin is bronze. That's amazing. I want to talk. There's a decent amount to discuss with that match because it's kind of funny. It was sort of similar to the David match where you've got one guy. He's got no interest in firing off a leg attack. They had no interest in offense and anything other than pushing and winning some boring positional battle. And then you've got an American that is trying to score for six straight freaking minutes. And that was Miles Amin against Deepak Punia. And Deepak was trying to hang on and hang on, and shame on him for doing it. And Miles made him pay. And I even still think when he got to that single, he got it standing. And it's like, all right, that's how you got to do it to finish on this guy. He's crafty. And when Deepak got it back down to the mat, I said, dang it, it's just not going to happen. And then he comes out front, left, right, left, circle, go behind. Oh my gosh. I mean, what an amazing, it was sort of a different technique, but a similarly dramatic finish to David's. And I thought it was a tribute, and I thought it was so fitting that the guy that wanted to score the whole time got paid off. It doesn't always happen, but it happened there, and it was sweet.
Yeah, and you look at Miles Amin, and first Olympic medalist in men's freestyle for University of Michigan ever. And he's young at 86.
And San Marino.
And for San Marino, yeah. But young at 86, he's going to be a medal threat for years. Like 80, he's not going to grow out of that weight. That's perfect for him. and he can challenge, maybe not challenge David and Yazdani or the Russian, but everybody else in the world, he's kind of already shown he's right there with and can beat.
We talk about how 86 looks like weak sometimes, but I think it's just because Yazdani and David Taylor are so freaking good. It's almost like you never see a weight class separated by two guys like that. We got the matchup we wanted, but the guys like Amin, the guys like, I don't know, Turkey's got a guy. Anyway, like there's other lots of quality guys at 86. So it's good to see Amin get that bronze. It's not like there was no competition. There's just two guys that separated themselves so much.
I don't know. I mean, there are strong weights and weak weights. And if you're ranking the strength of weights for these Olympics, I think this is the weakest weight. And, you know, it's a guy that was third at the NCAA tournament, which is only college athletes, just a couple months ago. So I'm not discrediting him at all. I'm just giving context around this weight. I think it's not the strongest. I think it's probably, but I will concede your point that David and Yazdani make it, I think they exacerbate the point and they make it more that way, because they're so good. I mean, David teched his way to the finals, right? And Yazdani was pretty dominant. He wasn't, you know, he didn't buzzsaw through Nifonov like maybe I expected him to. But
Nifonov's tough.
Maybe I'm an idiot too. That's certainly been theorized.
Yeah, I compare 86 similarly to 125 in that USA could send a couple guys there after our number one and medal at heavyweight. It's kind of similar to that in depth. 97 might be a little bit better, but I think we could send a couple guys at 97 too and medal. And so I think 86, 97, 125, that's where USA has depth. That's where we can send our two or three.
Or is it that the world has less depth?
I think it's a combination of both.
I don't know, I'm still sticking with 86 being tougher than y'all are giving it credit for. I don't think any of the middleweights, it's just the preponderance of too many people in there that you can call weak. I think it's just you have Yazdani and Taylor making everybody else look pedestrian, but that's a different, longer conversation about where the talent distribution in the world is.
Yeah, maybe we can talk about it more later. Certainly, we're going to have a lot to unpack from these games for sure. Man, I had a thought. I'm not sure where I was going now. But, oh, I know what I'm saying. Like, we're a real freaking power. I mean, I know we won Worlds in 2017, mm-hmm. but we're doing it on the grand stage. We're doing it. Listen, 57, Gilman was our guy, and he was the best guy we had, no doubt about it. But if you don't think we've got – this is a guy that lost two Americans within 2 months of the trials, right? This is
and beat Vito 2-2.
We're not even talking about, and we're not talking about Dayton, and we're not talking about Spencer too, and Vito, and Seth, right? We're really good at that weight, and if you think that Gilman's the only guy that can medal here, I don't know, but he is our best guy, no doubt about it. 65, I think we're a little bit of victim of a little bad luck with the Pan Ams thing. I mean, that match happens 10 times, we win 9 of them. That's easy for me to say. And then, you know, I think JO was right there to get it done. Mm-hmm. But in 74, we know we got two guys that can medal there. We got two legends at that weight. 86, look at our depth there. Trent Hidley beat Miles Amin this year.
Mm-hmm.
And look, he's bronze. I mean, Trent Hidley is not someone we would put in the top three of our depth chart. I think Zahid. I think Bo. I think Ringer, if he was at 86. All these guys are medal contenders. We were gonna have the most epic Olympic trials ever with Jaden versus Kyle. We have those two guys at one weight. Okay, it didn't happen, but Jaden Cox is still in the chat, right? And then we've got Gwiz, a multiple world medalist. We've got Mason Paris, who pinned Zare, who is very likely going to get bronze, and we've got Kirkfleet, who beat Mason Paris. So look at our Olympic weights. I mean, you're kidding yourselves. Do we have Russian depth? No, not yet. But we are not just front running with our top guys. We've got a list of guys that can go and come home with hardware. And that's what has me so excited. And man, and on the women's side too, right? We're right there. And Helen's getting bronze is a huge moment. The first two-time Olympic medalist for women's wrestling in America. That's huge. Jakara is still alive. She can come back for bronze. We already have two finalists. There's just so much to be excited about if you're an American wrestling fan. And I think we can – Japan's going to be – we will catch – I think we'll probably catch – Americans can catch Russia in men's freestyle probably quicker than the ladies can catch Japan. Just Japan is just – man, they're just so far ahead of everyone, right?
Yeah, right now they're –
quite as far ahead.
Right now they're 30 points ahead of USA, the women's in the women's side, Japan is, and Russia and USA are tied in men's freestyle, and it's gonna be close. And Russia needs Rashidov and Sitikov to and Sajulayev to kind of win out in order to close the door. But America's gonna be real close behind any slip up by Russia, and we're right there.
Yeah, and we only sent five.
Yep.
I mean, that's our fault. I mean, I'm not trying to make it, you know, explain it away. But, you know, when you go on with five and you're contending a Russian team with six, you feel great. I mean, I kind of forget this. We had three total medals at the Rio Olympic Games in wrestling. That is a painful reality. We had Jaden get bronze. We had Kyle win. And we had Helen win. And I think the elation we felt with Helen winning sort of blotted out the fact that it was not a great showing by us on the women's or men's freestyle side. And, you know, I'll hold off on my Greco thoughts for right now, but, you know, basically let's face the facts. We kind of have two teams right now, and then we're sending Greco athletes, but we're just so far off. We won one match at the Olympic Games. We got a long way to go there. So for two teams to bring home this level of hardware, 10 medals is possible. It's possible.
Which is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. That's a ridiculous thing. Worlds, okay. 10 world medals, I you can visualize that. There's 10 daggone weights. We sent 11 between men's and women's freestyle, and we can come back with 10. Now we've got it to do. Dake, right? All right, I'll ask you guys right now. Kyle Dake, does he get bronze?
It's no worse than 50-50. I don't think.
Okay.
I mean, you could say what happened with Katie Magomedov, but I agree that like he didn't. You know, it's one sequence in the middle, in the beginning. And then you got to take that into account and not say that it's just an 11-0 win. And then I don't see a world where Dake loses to Garzón. No offense, but he's past his prime 10 years ago.
I didn't see a world where he got blank teched either, ever.
I'm not discounting that loss, but I'm saying that doesn't bring Dake all the way down to like the worst possible case scenario. And then he goes up against Frank. And, all right, maybe it's 40-60 at this point with the new information from how he looked against Katie Magomedov, but I'm putting it at a coin flip.
I also don't envision a scenario where Kyle Dake gets down big to Chamizo just on how Chamizo wrestles, and I think that was a large part of why he did get 10-0 teched. He gave up the four, got down, I think got a little flustered and over-pursued. But then again, he got taken down in the second period. It wasn't off of his attack.
I actually agree with Spay's 50-50. I think it's 50-50.
Yes. It was a one-point match in the summer. And Chamizo was right there at the end of regulation, like about to finish.
Chamizo looks good. I mean, Katie Magomedov's a beast. I'll say this.
If Kyle Dake is not in his best version, the odds tip in favor of Chamizo. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
if the injury truthers out there are right and he cuts too much weight and he's something's up and you guys just can't accept the fact that he can lose and be healthy doing it, it's just a weird match, then yeah, maybe he won't beat Frank if he's not healthy, for sure. And if he's got some really adverse effects to a weight cut, yeah, he probably won't beat Frank. But I don't think that's the case. I think this is a guy with a lot of pride. I think he's going to come back. A second Olympics trip is not guaranteed for Kyle. And I think he's going to capitalize on this and understand what it means to get bronze. And if he doesn't, I know he's going to give it his all. And we can say what we want about his loss, but you can't say that guy wasn't freaking going for it. And he wasn't. I would be so much more upset as an American wrestling fan if I watched a guy like Hossein Kani just accept his fate as a 4-1 loser and that he wants to be pulled back. Whereas Dake got down big and pursued and it didn't work out. But I think that's how you do it.
Yeah.
I'm really fired up. I'm going to go. I probably have some stuff I got to do. You guys are awesome. Thanks for holding it down in the chat. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Great freaking day in Japan. Can't wait for tomorrow. Could be even better. You guys have a good one. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you later, CP.
Later.
Bye.
All right. Well, we hit on just about everything except maybe Sarah Hildebrand's draw, so we should probably talk about that before we get out of here, at least that.
Yeah.
That's something. I'd like to make one point about the Khabib-Magomedov-Dake match that hasn't been brought up yet. Khabib-Magomedov is 26 letters and 11 syllables. Kyle Dake, 2 syllables, 8 letters. I don't know if that was a factor. I can't say for sure.
Okay.
But that is a mismatch on the ledger. That's so many more letters. It's a lot more syllables. Just something to take into account. I just want to make sure that we cover all of our bases.
Yeah. That is a fact.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
I think you're still in the watch party mode where we can't describe.
We just say facts.
Action.
That's right. We're not allowed to do play by play. And I have entered something into the public record as a fact.
Yeah. I saw somebody post a comment on like one of our watch party previews, like, hey, you know, come join us, guys. And they're like, hey, you guys need to do a better job of play-by-play commentary rather than just reacting with noises.
Yeah, guttural noises are basically all.
It's about all we can do, guys.
Yeah.
We can tell you about everything else going on.
We go full like Home Improvement sometimes.
Yeah.
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 Just full power.
The watch and if you haven't joined us on the watch party, it's a lot of fun. Sometimes we get off the rails.
Sometimes. Sometimes Mike is hot.
Sometimes Mike's hot.
And some of us, not anybody in this room, but some of us decide that they want to start belting out the lyrics to DeBarge's Spirit of the Heat of the Night.
They want to feel the rhythm of the night.
That's what it is.
And they express it in melodic tones into a hot microphone.
Quite melodic.
So, yeah, join early. That's the commercial for that.
I miss it. Even the 4:15 sesh, too.
Yeah. But let's put Sarah's draw up on the board, and we can talk about that for a little bit. If anybody has any like really pressing questions, they can put them in the chat, and if they're super interesting, we'll answer them. So 57.
Yeah, no boring questions though, please.
Kilograms. I think you got 97 up on our screen right now. We want to make sure we show you the right picture here. So not. Gotcha. Yeah, so not the worst draw in the world for Sarah. Definitely good news to have her opposite
Sasaki and Stadnik.
Sasaki and Stadnik, who would be the
Those
major
are the two giants, the weight.
Heavy hitters in the weight. So she'll have Turkey first round. She should be favored in that match, and then Vuk from Romania. That should be the key for her to making the finals or even wrestling for a medal, period, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I was originally pretty down on this draw when I first saw it, but I did a little bit more research, and I started liking more what I was seeing. Vuk has a lot of impressive wins. She's like up there with the top, but what happens at this weight, and a lot of the women's weights are only a couple kilos away, and 48 kilos used to be a weight class. So you have a lot of women that competed at 48, some at 50, some at 53, and even some at 55 that are moving down, making those cuts. And so it kind of jumbles things up, makes it a little harder to follow. And Vuk has been in the top tier, but Sarah beat Vuk at the Pelicone 2020, 4-2. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a blowout, but that's a really good data point. It was recent. And that shows me, or that told me, reminded me that Hildebrandt's at that level as well.
Right.
And then I was also worried about Yan and Sun from China. She's got tons of credentials, but she hasn't really wrestled all that much recently. And a lot of it, I think, was at 48, maybe in the previous quad. So very dangerous. Livach is tough, too. Those two and Vuk are your three that I would say you need to prepare for. But there's no reason Sarah can't make the finals. And I was originally like, well, if she gets by Vuk, then she has to get by these guys. It just lowers the odds. But I'm feeling rosier with that. And as you guys said, Stadnik and Suzaki, the giants of 50 kilograms right now. She's on the other side of them. That was the name of the game, because those two are going to win the two medals on that side of the bracket. I don't see it going any other way at 50.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I remember that Matteo Pelicone match, and even hearing Sarah talk about it. That was scratch weight, 50 kilograms down there. And she said she felt really good. And in that match with Vuk, her mentality going in to the final, like 30 seconds, where she knew she needed a takedown. I kind of loved hearing her talk about, like, she's like, I didn't have a plan. I just wanted to score, and I knew I was going to score. And so I just didn't want to stop until I, put those points on the board. So I like her mentality. I've heard a couple of interviews with her coming into the games, and sounds like she's really in a good spot and super confident. She's going into this bracket thinking, not just thinking about, I got to make the semis so that I have a chance to medal. She's thinking she's going to win. You really love to.
I feel like the mentality overall, and it's tough from where our vantage point, but the body language of almost every American wrestler coming out of the gate has been phenomenal. When Helen went out there for her bronze, it was like, there's no doubt in her mind. When David Taylor walked out, he's smiling. I get to wrestle Hassan Yazdani on this stage. Gilman is sprinting out to the mat. Mm-hmm. And then the Abdullayev guy from Uzbekistan and his first Repeshash match, this Abdullayev guy, Kozak, you've been talking about all his awesome wins. He's coming in.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was injured or what, but he strolled out there with the look of a mopey dog face and proceeded to get obliterated and then quit. And then Helen made her third or bronze medal match opponent from Mongolia quit. Gilman then went on to make Atri quit. Somebody put in the message boards for the Iranian guys, can Kael Sanderson get the Iranian team to where he's gotten the Americans? Can they hire him? Because the Americans just put a hurting on Iran's men's freestyle team this last couple sessions.
It's been said, but it needs to be said again, that we're in a golden age of wrestling, USA wrestling right now. I hope it continues, but it's not guaranteed that we always have this success. So we need enjoy it. It's amazing. It's so much fun.
Last quad is night and day. When we would have World Cups against like Iran, it would be a blowout. When we would have World Championships, we'd sneak in. We would win some medals, but your expectations aren't anywhere close to what they are in the last 4 or 5 years. It's been awesome to see in this turnaround. And then the women have been almost equally turned around. We've had the pleasure of watching every single one of these matches in the watch party. And because women's wrestling is so successful and popular in Japan, they schedule it so that every session there's a women's weight class going throughout the entire week. So we've had the chance to bring up the fact that Terry Steiner has been at this for so long and is seeing the fruits of his labors, the work that everybody's put in, all the women athletes, the coaches, everybody buying in, everybody supporting. And it is not in the mix of everything. It's, How do we get to Japan? We mentioned this before. Having Russia in men's freestyle and having Japan in women's freestyle gives us that bar to shoot for, and it's been cool seeing us get closer.
Yeah, and men's freestyle from 2000 to 2009 with four gold medals.
Four. And more weight classes.
Four in 10 years. And in the last 5 years, we had, not counting this Olympics, just in men's freestyle, we had 11 gold medals. Now you look at, you got David Taylor going, you got Gable Steveson, you got Kyle Snyder, and then we're going to run it back in October at World Championships. And it's, I mean,
Oslo could be great.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to get too ahead of the game or too ahead of ourselves. Russia will be able to send, you know, an entirely different team than the one they sent to the Olympics and still be gold medal, maybe contenders or favorites in every single weight class. But it's going to be interesting, you know, when you add the non-Olympic weights and then you see some of the guys from the Olympics in other countries maybe take a couple months off or whatever, it becomes a different tournament, and we now have the depth to just step in and win a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else we want to get to before we...
No, we've touched on a lot, and...
talked a lot.
We did. Yeah, we've talked a lot this past week, and we'll get more in-depth into certain topics next week when we have more time to digest and... not looking ahead to, and we get the full results of everything. So if we didn't touch on something that we want to talk about, like Spencer Lee versus Thomas Gilman or something like that, or anything else, we'll dive into all that good stuff next week when we're starting to look ahead, look back at the Olympics and look ahead at 2021 Worlds and World Team Trials.
Yeah.
All right. So tune in again. Not until the morning, right? There's no...
Oh no, we got night session.
Night, yes, one more.
Oh, we're pulling another all nighter.
Kyle Snyder, 65, Sarah Hildebrandt tonight, and then medal matches or repechage. Kyle Dake, Jakara Winchester, repechage. Medal matches 74.
Gable
in the morning.
Gable for Olympic gold, baby.
Yeah.
So it's going to be another kick-ass day tomorrow for Team USA in the Olympics and for wrestling as a whole. So don't miss it. Join us for the watch party while you watch the Olympics.
Please do.
All right, for John Kozak, Andrew Spey, we'll see you all on the watch party.